Today's shiur of the Rambam is Perik Shneimasar Mehilchas Ishus, the 12th chapter of the Laws Concerning Marriage. Halacha Aleph, paragraph 1. Kishinose Adam Isha, Bein Psula, Bein Ba'ula, Bein Gdola, Bein Ktana, Achas Bas Yisrael, V'achas HaGiyores, Oham Shchereres, Yischayev La Basara Dvarim, V'yiske Barba Dvarim. When a man marries a woman, whether she's a virgin or she's not a virgin, whether she's an adult or a minor, whether she's a Jewish woman or she's a convert to Judaism, or a slave who is freed, in which case she also becomes Jewish, she's like a convert, the husband obligates himself to her for 10 things and is in turn entitled to 4 things from her, from his wife. Halacha Beis, V'ha'asara shlosha mehem min ha'torah, V'elu hein, she'era, k'susa, v'yonasa. And of the 10 things that the husband is obligated to provide his wife, 3 are of biblical origin, and they are providing her with food, with clothing, and with conjugal rights. And the Rambam explains, She'era, Elam Zonoseha, She'era refers to her sustenance, food sustenance. Kesusa, Kemishmo. Kesusa means, as the word itself translates, her clothing. Onasa, what does Onasa refer to? Lavo aleha kederach al ha'aretz, to have relations with her according to the way of the world. V'hashiva medivrei sofrim, v'kulam t'noi bezdin heim. The other 7 are all rabbinical, and they are all conditions imposed by the court. Even if the husband did not include them in the ktsuba, he is nevertheless obligated by the courts to fulfill them. Ho'echad mehem ikar ktsuba, v'hashar heim hanikrayim t'noi ktsuba. 1 of the 7 is the fundamental requirement of the ksuba, and the other 6 are referred to as the conditions of the ksuba. The basic requirement of the ksuba is 200 zuz for a virgin and 100 for a non-virgin, and the other 6 will be discussed shortly. The eluheim, and these are the others. Liraposa imchalsa, to cure her if she becomes ill. Vilivdosa imnishbase, to redeem her if she becomes captive. If she's taken captive, lekavra imesa, to bury her if she dies, v'lios nizonas minachasav, to be supported by his from his estate, v'yosheves beveso achar moso kolzman almanosa, and to dwell in his home after he dies, as long as she's still a widow before she remarries, v'lios benoseha mimenu nizonas minachasav achar moso ad shetisa rasna, and likewise her daughters that she has from him shall be supported and fed from his estate after he dies until they become betrothed. V'lios boneha hascharim imenu yarshin ksubasa yosar al chelkom bayerusha she'imachehem, and that the male sons that she has from him should inherit her ksuba more than their share in the inheritance that these sons have with their brothers from another wife. Halacha Gimel, paragraph 3, V'harba shezolcha bahem, kula medivrei sofrim, the 4 things that he is entitled to from her are all rabbinical, ve'eluheim, and they are as follows. Lios masa yodeha shalo, her earnings become his. V'lios mitziyasa shalo, anything she finds belong to the husband. V'shiyia ochel kol peiris nichaseha b'chayeha, that he's entitled to eat and to derive benefit from the fruits of her property during her lifetime. V'imesa b'chayav yiroshena, and if she dies in his lifetime, he will inherit her. V'hu kodem l'chol adam b'yerusha, and he takes precedence to every person in the inheritance of his wife. Halacha Dalet, paragraph 4. V'o tiknu chachamim, sheyiyu maisa yidei ha'isha k'neged mizonoseha. Another thing the sages enacted, that the earnings of the woman, which belong to the husband, corresponds to the obligation that he has to feed her, to provide her with food. In other words, because he provides her with food, that's why he's entitled to her earnings. And likewise, ufidyona keneged achilas peiros nechaseha, the law that requires him to redeem her if she's taken captive corresponds to the fact that he is privileged to eat the fruit of her estate. Ukvurasa keneged yirushasa luksubasa, and the obligation to bury her corresponds to the inheritance of her ksuba that the husband is entitled to. Lefichach, therefore, im amr ha'isha eini nizones ve'eini osa, shomin la ve'ein kofin osa. If the woman shall say, I do not want to be fed from you, by you, and I will not work, she is to be listened to, and we do not compel her to work and to provide her husband with her earnings. Because the only reason she has to provide him with earnings is as payment for the fact that he feeds her, but if she doesn't want to be fed by him, she doesn't have to work for him. If the husband says the converse of the foregoing statement, that I will not feed you, and I will not take any of your earnings, we do not listen to him. Shemala Yisapkula Maisiya Deha Bimzona Seha, lest there will not be enough of her earnings to provide her with her food. And because of this institution, the obligation to feed one's wife is considered to be one of the stipulations, the conditions of the ksuba. Even though, in essence, providing a wife with nourishment, with sustenance, is a biblical obligation, why then is it considered to be part of the ksuba, which is rabbinical? Because the rabbis enacted that this obligation to feed one's wife corresponds to her obligation to provide the husband with her earnings. And since it is her privilege to turn down the sustenance in order not to have to give her husband the earnings, that makes it a condition of the ksuba, which is for her benefit and not for his benefit. Halacha Hey, paragraph 5. Kol ha'dvarim ha'elu, afal pi shelo nichtavu b'shtar ha'ksuba, v'afilu lo kasvu ksuba ela nasa stam. All of these matters, the 10 matters that we mentioned before, even though they were not written in the document of the ksuba, and even if no ksuba was written at all, he marries her without any specification as to what his obligations to her would be. Kivan shenasa zacha ba'arba dvarim shelo, v'zachsa ha'isha ba'asara dvarim shelo. Once he weds her, he, the husband, is entitled to the 4 things that we give him, and the woman, in turn, is entitled to the 10 matters that are her privilege, and they do not have to be specified, articulated, either in writing or orally. Halacha Vav, paragraph 6. Hisna habal shelo yischayv v'echad min hadvarim shehu chayv v'hen. If the husband stipulates that he should not be obligated to give one of the things that he is obligated to give, or if the wife stipulates that he is to forfeit any one of his privileges, hatnai kayam, this stipulation would be valid. There are, however, 3 exceptions to this rule, the Rambam says, where no condition would be effective, would be valid, and whoever makes a stipulation concerning these 3 things, that stipulation, that condition would be invalid, would be void, and they are as follows: the conjugal rights that he's obligated to provide her with, the primary requirement of the ksuba, the 200 or the 100 zuz, and the inheritance of his wife. These are the 3 things that one cannot stipulate against. All the other matters, the condition is valid because they are monetary matters, and monetary matters one could forego one's right, could waive one's right. As far as the ksuba is concerned, that the rabbis made sure that could not be waived, because otherwise the husband could take advantage of his wife and divorce her against her will, as we learned in the earlier chapter. Halacha Zayin, Ketzad, how so? Hisna im ha'isha she'ein la olav ona, t'na'o batel, v'chayiv ba'onasa. If a man stipulates with a woman that he is not obligated to provide her her conjugal rights, his condition is void, and he is obligated to provide her with her conjugal rights. Sharei hisna al mashakosu v'torah ve'eino t'nai mamon, because he stipulated against that which is written in the Torah, and it is not a financial type of condition. Halacha Ches, paragraph 8, hisna imo lifchos me'ikar ksuba, if he made a condition to decrease the amount of the ksuba, the basic amount of the ksuba, 200 for a virgin and 100 for a non-virgin. O shekasav lo masayim o meya ikar ksuba. V'kasav lo sheniskab lo mihen kach v'kach. V'hi lo niskab lo. T'na'o batel. Another example would be, if in the ksuba he does include the basic requirement of 200 or 100, and she wrote him a note that says that she received so much and so much, although in fact she had not received it. In these cases, the condition is null and void. Shekol ha'poches lapsulo mimasayim v'la almana mimeya harei bi'ilasa bi'ilas nus. The Rambam gives us the reason for it. Whoever obligates himself to giving less than 200 for a virgin and 100 for a widow, his marital relations with her is considered to be sheer harlotry. Halacha Tes, paragraph 9. Hisna ima acha shenasa shelo yirashena t'no'o batil v'afal pishi yerushas habal medivrei sofrim asu chizik l'divreihem kishel Torah. If the husband stipulates to his wife after the marriage that he is not to inherit her, his condition is null and void, because even though the husband's right to his wife's estate is a rabbinical requirement, a rabbinical law, the rabbis nevertheless gave their enactment the same force as that of the Torah. V'chol t'nai shabi Yerusha batel v'afal pishahu mamon. And any stipulation concerning an inheritance is null and void if it's against the laws of the rabbis concerning inheritance, even though it involves monetary matters. And the reason for this, why this is an exception, shenemar bo l'chukas mishpat, because concerning inheritance, the Torah in the Book of Numbers writes, it is a statute of judgment. The word statute implies that it cannot be changed or modified or waived. Ubishar hadvarim tno akayim, kigon shehisne imo she'en lo sher uksus. In other matters, his condition would be valid, for example, if he makes a stipulation that she is not to be provided with her food or her clothing, or almnash lo yochal peiros nechaseha v'chol kiyotze bozeh, or the stipulation is that he should not benefit from the fruits of her estate, and anything like that, tno kayam, the condition in these matters would be valid. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. Kama mazonos poskin le'isha. How much food, sustenance, is the wife entitled to? Poskin lo lechem shtei seudos b'chol yom. Seuda beinonis shal kol adam ba'oso ha'ir, ka adam she'eno lo chola v'lo gargaron. U'me'oso machol shal anshi oso ha'ir. Im chitim chitim, v'im sa'orim sa'orim. She's entitled to bread for 2 meals daily. How much is a meal? Each being the average meal of all the people in that city, as consumed by a person who is neither ill nor a gluttonous person. The bread is to be made of grain used by the people of that city. If they use wheat, then it's to be wheat. If barley, then of barley. V'chein orez v'dochan o mishar minim shenago behen, or if it's rice or millet or any of the other type of species of food that they use in that city, he has to give it to his wife. Uposkin lo parperes lechel ba esapas, kigon kitnis o yirokos v'kayotze behen. She is also entitled to a side dish to eat with the bread, such as legumes or green vegetables or the like. V'shemen l'achila, v'shemen l'hadlokas haner u'peros, u'miyat yayin lishtos imhaya mina kamokam she'ishtu hanashim yayin. Also, she's entitled to edible oil, lamp oil, fruit, and some wine to drink, if it is the custom in that place for women to drink wine. Otherwise, one discourages giving wine to women. U'poskin l'ashalash se'udos b'shabas, u'basar adagim kamina kamokam. She's also given 3 meals for the Sabbath, meat, or fish, as is the custom of that place. V'nosla b'chol Shabbos v'Shabbos mo'a kesef l'tzaracheha, kigon pruta l'kibus o l'merchatz v'kiyotze behen. The husband must also give her a silver mo'a every week for her other needs, such as a pruta for laundry or bathhouse and the like. Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 11. B'med dvarim amurim, when does the foregoing apply? V'ani shebi Yisrael, if he is a poor man in Israel. Avim haya ashir, hakol lefi ashro. But if the husband is wealthy, all should be according to his capacity, according to his wealth. Afilo haya mamona roi lasis lo kama tapshili basa b'chol yom, kofen oso uposken lo mezonos kefi mamono. Even if his wealth is sufficient to provide her with several meat meals every day, he must be compelled to provide her with sustenance according to his wealth. As the Talmud says, that if a master is obligated to provide his Hebrew servant with the same level of food that he's entitled to, how much more so that it would apply to one's wife. V'im hay ani b'yotzer v'eina yachalitin lo afilo lechem shehitzrichalo, if he was so poor that he cannot even provide her with the bread that she's entitled to, the basic requirements, the minimum requirement, kofen osa lahotzi v'siyak subasa chov olav achetimtza yado v'yitain, then he can be compelled to divorce her, to grant her a divorce, and the ksuba becomes a debt on him until he finds the amount that he is obligated to pay for the ksuba and gives it to his wife. Halacha Yudbeis, paragraph 12. Baal sheratza liten le'ishto mezonoseha haru'uyes lo, v'siya ocheles v'shosa la'atzma, v'hu shosa v'ocha la'atzmo, harashuz b'yado. If the husband is willing to give his wife the sustenance due to her, the food that he has to give her, but with the condition that she is to eat and drink by herself, and he will eat and drink by himself, he may do so, but with one condition. Ubilvad sheyochel imam leil Shabbos leil Shabbos, provided that he eats with her every Friday night, the night of Shabbos. Halacha Yud Gimel, paragraph 13. Ha'isha shepaskul amazonos v'hasiru hamosa labal. If a woman was granted food as part of the obligation that a husband has to his wife, and she had leftovers, the leftovers go back to the husband. Haya baila kohen, eina nosan la komazan oseha truma, bepnei she torah gadol hula, l'shamram midvarim hametamim, ula achlam betara. If the husband is a kohen, and he's entitled to eat truma and to give her truma, he should not give her all of her food out of the truma, out of the tithe, because it is too much trouble for her to guard it from anything that might contaminate it, and to eat it in a state of purity. Ella, nosan la mechta chulun o mechta truma. Rather, the proper proportion would be to give her half out of it out of regular food, and the other half out of truma, the holy food, so there's no problem with her maintaining it in the proper state of purity. Halacha Yudala, paragraph 14. Kishem she'adam chaya b'mezonos ishto, kachu chaya b'mezonos banov uvenosov haktanim ad she'yiyu b'nei she'shanim. Just as a man is obligated to provide food for his wife, so too is he obligated to provide food for his sons and daughters who are still minor up until the age of 6 years. Mikan ve'elech machilim ad she'yigdulu katakanas chachamim. From then on, from 6 years and on, he feeds them until they grow up in accord with the enactment of the sages. In other words, until the age of 6, it is a biblical obligation. From 6 until they are independent to earn money by themselves, it is a rabbinical obligation. If he refuses, he should be reprimanded, he should be embarrassed, and he should be importuned. They should beg him. If he still refuses, machrizin olav batzibu v'omrim ploni achzarihu v'eina rotza lozen banov. If he still refuses, a public announcement concerning him should be made as follows. So-and-so is a cruel man and refuses to maintain his children. He is worse, therefore, than an unclean bird, for it does feed its young. He may not be compelled, however, to maintain his children, to feed them after the age of 6. That means the courts did not confiscate his property to feed the children. Halacha Tezvav, paragraph 15. Bamedvarim amurim beish eina amud ve'ein yidua imroi litin staka o eina roi. When does the foregoing apply that we do not confiscate his property and force him to feed his children? That is, if he's not a wealthy man, and we do not know if he is fit and is capable of giving charity or he's not capable. But if he was known to be wealthy, and he has enough money, and he is capable of giving charity that would provide them with their needs, then we force him, and we coerce him, to provide them with their needs because of the obligation of giving charity, and he must feed them until they grow up and become independent. Halacha Tezayin, paragraph 16. A man who goes overseas, and his wife comes to the court to demand her sustenance. She demands food. The first 3 months from the time that he departs, we do not provide her with food. And the reason for this is, there's a presumption that a man would not leave his house empty, and therefore we assume that he did provide her with food. However, mikan ve'elech poskim l'mezonos, from 3 months and onward, we do provide her with food. V'im hayon l'nechassim bezdin yardin l'nechassav u'morchim l'mezonoseha. If the husband had an estate, then we go down to the estate, the court seizes it, and sell some of it to provide her for her sustenance. The Rambam continues, and he says, v'ein mechashrin ima al-maisi yadeha. No accounting need be made with her of her own earnings, ad sheyavo baila, until her husband comes. If, after her husband comes, we then find that she had earned income, that income, of course, would revert to the husband. Similarly, if she has not made her claim in court, but she herself sold some of her husband's property to provide for her sustenance, her sale is valid. And the Rambam says, V'ein etzricha hachraza v'lo shavua ad sheyavo baila v'yiton. And she need not make a public announcement. Normally, when a person sells property for the purpose of a court-ordered providing of certain type of sustenance for someone, or paying up a debt, you have to determine that you sold it for the right price. In this case, it's not needed to make public announcements. Not only that, she doesn't have to swear an oath until her husband returns and challenges her, or until she comes forth to claim her ksuba after his death. Now at that time, we devolve upon her an additional oath that she had sold only as much as was necessary to provide for such maintenance as she required. Once she has to give an oath anyhow because of her husband's challenge, we give her another oath as well, the oath to the effect that she didn't sell any other thing of the estate that was not for the purpose of her sustenance. Halacha Yud Zayin, paragraph 17. Ukashem Shabezdin Mochin Limzon Haisha Shahalach Baila, Kach Mochin Limzon Banav Uvnosav, Kishahem Bnei She Shanam Upachos. Just as the courts could sell the husband's estate in order to provide the wife with food when her husband leaves on a trip, the same way they can sell the husband's estate, the father's estate, to provide the sons and daughters who are 6 years or younger for their food. But if they're older than 6 years, we do not sustain the children from his estate, not in his presence, even though he might be wealthy. Because after the age of six, the obligation is an obligation of charity, not an obligation of sustenance, and since it is not in his presence, we do not take it against his will when he is not around. Likewise, a man who became mentally deranged, he turned into an imbecile who was not capable of doing anything, the courts may descend into his estate, that means they can seize his estate and sell that part of it to provide his wife and his sons and daughters who are 6 years or younger with their sustenance, with their food, and provide them with their needs. Halacha Yud Ches, paragraph 18. Yesh min hagaonim shahora she'ein poskim mezonos le'isha shahalach bayla lamdinas hayam o shemeiz bayla ad sheyehe shtar ksuba yotze metachas yada. There are some gaonim who taught us that no allowance may be granted for the sustenance of a wife whose husband has gone to a country overseas or has died unless she produces a ksuba. Ve'im lo totzi shtar ksuba ein la mezonos. Shema notla ksubasa mebaila. If she does not produce a ksuba, she is not entitled to sustenance. Perhaps she has already collected her ksuba from her husband. O machla lo ksubasa she'en la mezonos, kamo she yizbar. Or perhaps she had waived her right to the ksuba, so that she is no longer entitled to sustenance, as shall be explained later. That's one opinion of the Gaonim. V'yesh mi shahora sheposkin la mezonos b'cheska shelo notla v'lo machla. Others taught us that the wife is entitled to sustenance outright, on the presumption that she had neither collected her ksuba nor waived her right to it. Ve'ein matzrichan osa lahavi ksuba. Therefore, there's no need for her to bring and produce her ksuba in court. There are those two opinions, and the Rambam now tells us what his opinion is. The Rambam's opinion is a compromise between the two. V'dayti notu lazeh, b'misha halach baila, ho'il v'yesh lamezonos min ha'torah. Aval im meis baila, ein lamezonos achetavi ksuba. B'pnei shehi ocheles b'takanas chachamim. My own opinion, the Rambam says, inclines towards the latter view in the case of the wife whose husband had gone away, because her right to sustenance is based on the Torah. However, in the case of her husband's death, she is not entitled to sustenance until she produces a ksuba, because in this case, her right to sustenance is based on the enactment of the sages. Moreover, the Rambam says, in the case where the husband dies, her sustenance comes out of the property of the heirs, and one must always plead on behalf of an heir, because they cannot plead for themselves, since they are not aware of all the circumstances. Halacha Yutes, paragraph 19. Halach baila v'lov savyachla kishayav v'chayav l'shalim. If a woman whose husband had gone away borrows money for her sustenance, the husband, upon his return, is obligated to repay it. Amar echad midas atzmo v'zana mishalo im yav v'habal ein l'chayav l'shalim lo v'harize iberes ma'osav v'pnei shalotzi v'ha l'zuna. If another man, on his own initiative, provides for her sustenance at his own expense, the husband, upon his return, is not obligated to repay him, so that he loses his money. And the reason for this is, the husband did not commission him to maintain his wife, nor did she borrow from him, therefore he had forfeited his own money. Halacha Chaf, paragraph 20. Habal sha'amar li'ishto b'sha shahalach tli masi yadayach b'mzonosayach, ein la mezonos. If a husband says to his wife at the time of his departure, use your own earnings for your sustenance, she is not entitled to sustenance. And the reason is,
because she'ilu lo ratasa v'davar zeh v'lo samcha daita hayelo l'tavo olomer lo ein maisi yadayma speakingly. Because if she had not agreed to this arrangement and acceded to it, she could have demanded sustenance from her husband, or she could have said to him, my earnings are not sufficient for me. Because she agreed to it by not saying anything to protest it, she is not entitled to any sustenance. Halacha Chafal, paragraph 21. Harei sha'am de badin upaskala mezono sumachra bezdin v'nasnu la osha machra hila atzma oba habal v'amra hinachti la mezonos. If, after coming to court, the court seizes the husband's property and she is granted sustenance from it, and the court sells some of the husband's property and gives her the proceeds, or if she herself sells it for her own use, and then the husband returns and says, I left provisions with her for her sustenance, she must give an oath while holding a holy object, the Sefer Torah, to the effect that he did not do so. Lo if what happened was that she made no claim nor sold anything, but waited until her husband returned. Hu omer hinachti, v'hi omeres lo hinachta elo levisi mizeh v'nisparnasti. If he says, I left you some provisions, and she says, you did not leave me, I had to borrow money and I supported myself from that. Nishba shvuas hese shehiniach lo v'niftar, v'yishar hachov oleha. He, the husband, must swear an informal oath to the effect that he did leave provisions for her and is then exempt, while she alone remains liable for the debt. Halacha Chav Beis, paragraph 22. Machar mitaltulin v'amra l'mezonus macharti, v'hu toin v'omer, mizonosaya chinachti, nishbash v'was hese shelo haniach. If the wife sold movable objects, not real estate, and then she says, I sold them for my sustenance. Now the husband argues by saying, I left provisions for your maintenance. She must swear an informal oath to the effect that he did not leave provisions. The reason why an informal oath is sufficient here is because since we're dealing with movable objects, she could have always hid them and told her husband, I never took anything. And when you deny outright, you are not obligated to give a formal oath, which is a biblical oath, but only an informal one, known as Shvuas Heses. The Rambam then continues, Hareish lo tava v'lo lapsa v'lo machra eladachka atzma b'yom uvalayla v'asasa v'achla ein la klum. If the wife neither made any claim, nor she borrowed, nor did she sell any property of her husband, but rather exerted herself greatly day and night by laboring in order to earn her sustenance, she is not entitled to anything. Halacha Chav Gimel, paragraph 23. Hamadiris ishta melihanas lo bein sheperish adzman ploni, bein shelo perish avasasam mamtina lo shloshim yom, im tamu yamei nidro, o shelo tamu vihita nidro, hare ze mutav, vim lav, yotzi vitin ksuba. If a man makes a vow that his wife will not derive any benefit from him, whether he specifies that the vow is to be effective up to a certain time, or places no time limit at all, he is given 30 days. If the duration of the vow is then completed, or if he is released from his vow before its expiration by having the rabbi renunciate his vow, that is best. If not, he must divorce her and pay her ksuba. What about those 30 days? Uva osa mashloshim yom, tia hi osa v'ocheles, v'yia echad mechaverov mefarnes osa, dvarim shehi tzricha lahem, yeser al maisi yadeha, imein maisi yadeha, maspikin lakol. During those 30 days, she should work to support herself, and one of his friends should provide her with those necessities which he must have over and above her earnings, if her earnings do not suffice for all her needs. Halacha Chavdal, 24. Hamadris ishta shlotitam echad mikolaperos mamtinu lo ad shloshim yom yeser alken yotzev yitin ksuba. If a man subjects his wife to a vow that she is not to taste of a certain kind of produce, he is given 30 days. Beyond that, he must divorce her and pay her ksuba. Afilu hadira shlo tochel machal ra, afilu hadira mimin shlo achla osam yameha yotzi achalam yom yitin ksuba. Even if he makes her vow not to eat a harmful kind of food, or not to eat kind of food that she never ate in her whole life, he must nevertheless divorce her after 30 days and pay her ksuba. Nadrihi shlo tochal echem mikol haperis v'kiyam la, hu, es nidra, o nadra benazir v'lo hefer la, im ratza sheteshev tachta v'lo tochal peros otia nazira teshev, v'im amra eini rotza b'ishi nadranis, yotzi v'yitin ksuba, sherehaya b'yadu l'hafer, v'hu kiyam la bertzono. If she herself vows that she will not eat of a certain kind of produce, and he validates her vow, or if she vows to be a Nazarite, refraining from wine and the like, and he does not annul her vow, the rule is as follows. If he is willing that she should abide with him while eating none of that kind of produce, or while being a Nazarite, she may do so. If, however, the husband says, I don't want a wife who is prone to making vows, he must divorce her and pay her ksuba, inasmuch as he had it in his power to annul the vow, and yet he voluntarily validated it. With this, the Rambam concludes the 12th chapter of the Laws Concerning Marriage.